In 2014, data is big, and big data is even bigger. From baseball to genetics, mining data for business insights can confirm hunches or annihilate them. Publishers may have the skills and tools necessary to make data-driven financial and marketing decisions, but how and how much will they use them? Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. In an industry as diverse as publishing, there is more than one answer to the big data question. Joining me with a survey of responses from publishers large and small and across categories is Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, who joins me every Friday with the latest book business headlines. And welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, as I said at the start there, we do live in an era of big data. It seems wherever you go, you're going to hear about it. And in Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly, you've got a feature asking just how much publishers should care about all of this.
That is right. In Monday's issue, our digital solutions feature asked that very question. Is big data really important to publishing? And, you know, just in the last 6 months alone, big data has been the cover story in a number of publications as diverse as Science, Foreign Affairs, and even Harvard Magazine, not to mention the scores of IT trade magazines out there. But has the time come for publishers to focus more on data and analytics, which are proving to be really powerful business tools in this age of digital transformation? It's a really thoughtful piece from James Lichtenberg, and as you might imagine, it's a pretty complex piece too, because publishing is a really diverse industry. You know, for higher education, for example, as well as reference, data and analytics have become pretty much a mission critical reality for the major publishers as they seek to invest in new platforms that combine their subject matter and content with digital learning enhancements, metrics of how students are interacting with that content, and then connecting all these things back to the university's own information systems. And of course, we have the whole social media component out there. That's especially big for trade publishing. And, you know, we have these new analytics that are enabled by the ebook purchasing world. But especially for trade publishing, which has always been sort of a gut instinct business, how important are these data-driven decisions? They really seem to be, in some cases, almost like an about face for a business that's always been driven by such intuition. So there's a real tension here, and I think the piece really nicely captures how and where big data is changing the book business.
Well, I'm going to be looking forward to reading that, because gut feelings really seem to be on the decline these days, and I trust my gut, so I want to see what others think about that. Now, speaking of gut feelings that fuel publishing, PW has a relatively new Meet the Editor series, and also in this upcoming issue, you have a profile of someone whose gut has led her to quite a bit of success.
That's right. You know, we have this new Meet the Editor series. It's been around for a few months now, and it's been really well received so far. And under this, in this series, we'll be doing profiles every month of, you know, sort of the brains behind the books at the, various publishing houses. And this week, we feature Riverhead's Sarah McGrath, who really had sort of a banner year last year in 2013. The executive editor had four national best-selling titles, including The Painted Girls by Kathy Marie Buchanan, Meg Wallace, The Interestings, and then the Mountains Echoed by Khaled Hosseini last spring, and then the Yonelossi Writing Camp for Girls by Anton Di Sclafani. Suffice it to say, probably none of those titles were data-driven acquisitions, shall we say, besides, you know, maybe from some past sales figures thrown in. And her 2014 is off to a really good start, too, with Chang Rae Lee's critically acclaimed as well as best-selling book, On Such a Full Sea. Now, if the name McGrath sounds familiar, yes, it should. She is the daughter of Chip McGrath, the former New Yorker editor and one-time editor of the New York Times Book Review. But this is, like, you know, just what this series is really good at, offering a really interesting look behind the curtain at some of these wonderful literary works. And, you know, I'll leave you with this one tidbit. I don't want to spoil the whole thing for you, but McGrath says that Khaled Hosseini is the single best person on the planet. She doesn't back that up with any data, but we can certainly take her word for it.
That's a statement you can only make based on gut, I think. Well, well, now we turn to the legal part of the program. We always do every week, because there's so much happening in the courts when it comes to book publishing, and it's been another busy week for you in court cases that run the gamut. They go from Open Road and HarperCollins, Author Solutions, and, of course, our friends in Cupertino. So fill us in on all of that. Let's start with Apple.
Sure. Apple's always a good place to start for me. This week, we learned that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals has granted a temporary stay to Apple while they have an emergency motion heard on whether Judge Cote erred in refusing to grant Apple's request for a stay of all proceedings. So, you know, got that? The Second Circuit is now granting a stay to consider whether a stay of all proceedings should have been granted. Now, Apple's argument, as we've discussed in the past, is that everyone is sure going to look stupid when we finally pull this thing out on appeal. And also that, you know, sending out a class notice to millions of consumers stating that Apple is a price fixer would irreparably harm its reputation. But in a blistering opposition this week, the state plaintiffs accused Apple of gamesmanship and stalling. And clearly, they've had enough of all of this. You know, and as I noted a few weeks ago in the show, they make a really good point. You'd have to be living in a cave on Mars with your fingers in your ears not to have heard about this ebook price fixing decision. And also that consumers have already received the exact same notice that Apple is now protesting twice in this case. You know, so I'll cut to the chase here. Even if the court acts swiftly on deciding whether or not Judge Cote's denial of a stay order should be upheld, the July trial date that we've been discussing, July 14th, that's now gone. The mandatory notice period for class actions has a certain amount of time period that it has to be in effect for. And because of the temporary stay, that window is now blown. We're going to get a new schedule, and we'll see how that all shakes out.
Well, at least for that part of it, the stalling seems to have succeeded. We've also got Judge Cote weighing in on another publishing case in her courtroom. This one not on the publisher side of things, but, well, the author side. It's the case against Author Solution.
Yeah, that's right. Earlier this month, the Judge Denise Cote once again declined to dismiss a group of authors' claims against Author Solutions. That's the self-publishing service provider owned by Penguin. That means that the case is going to proceed, and a class action case can be potentially built upon this. The plaintiffs claim that Author Solutions engages in fraudulent activities. They are basically upselling unsuspecting authors into expensive packages under the guise of being an independent publisher. Author Solutions claims that the suit is little more than a collection of gripes. But that question is now going to go to court, barring a settlement. But there was a bit of good news for Penguin, which probably is getting a little sick of seeing Judge Denise Cote. Penguin owns Author Solutions, but she dismissed Penguin from the case here. All the activity she held happened before Penguin bought the company, and Penguin is not responsible. So Penguin, aside from owning Author Solutions, is no longer a named litigant in this case. So what's next? Well, I personally would be shocked if this case isn't settled, and settled rather quickly. Remember, Penguin has since merged with Random House, and Random House so far has not shown itself to be in love with either the Author Solutions or the self-publishing model, shall we say. And so I think they're probably internally, and this is just a guess, almost certainly looking to sell the company. I'd be amazed if Penguin Random House was going to hang on to this. And certainly no one is going to be buying this company with a case like this looming over it. So I would expect some kind of deal to be reached. The major roadblock to that, of course, is that settling these claims almost would be an admission of guilt for Author Solutions. So stay tuned.
Indeed, a tough one there. And, you know, we've been expecting some kind of a settlement as well in a different case. Open Road and HarperCollins, they've been back in court after a judge ruled that Open Road had infringed on HarperCollins' copyright in publishing an ebook edition of Julie of the Wolves. So where is all of that?
So the parties were back in court last week, and they offered the judge an update. And indeed, they have not been able to agree on a settlement to end the case. So the judge has put them on a briefing schedule in which the process will eventually somehow come up with a final resolution. An appeal is still pending from Open Road. I don't believe they decided whether or not they're going to appeal, but that option still remains out there. And it also remains to be seen how aggressive HarperCollins is going to really be and, you know, potentially going after a damage award and legal fees, etc. You know, some outlets have suggested that the path of least resistance here and what may be underway right now are talks to turn Open Road's unlicensed edition of Julie of the Wolves into a licensed edition. But I don't think that can happen very easily. Remember, this is a copyright suit in court, but it's a contract dispute in practice. And the main sticking point is the digital royalty rate. Open Road had offered 50%, while HarperCollins had refused to budge off its 25% of net. And remember, too, the author has to consent to any license deal per the contract. Thus, the two parties in court can't really settle on a new license without the author signing off. And the question is, will the author's estate, because Ms. George passed away in 2012, will the authors sign off on a lower royalty? Or would HarperCollins offer a higher royalty? You know, you have to wonder why HarperCollins would. They found the royalty issue to be so compelling that they chose to litigate rather than raise it the first time around and keep Ms. George in their stable. And now that it is won, I don't see why it would come off its stand so easily. So there's much more to come here, and I'll be examining all of that on the PW site next week.
Well, some fascinating questions there, Andrew. And what a great opportunity for everybody else in the business to just stay in their seats and watch.
Absolutely. In fact, I bet a lot of people are doing, rather than sitting in their seats and watching, probably many of them are going back and looking at their old contracts right now and trying to find out what they think about some of their backlist titles.
Right. They don't want to get caught in the same problem. Well, Andrew Albanese, senior writer of Publishers Weekly, we always appreciate chatting with you every week on Friday about the latest book business news. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.